them come to the water and let all who have nothing, let them come to the Lord without money, without price. Why should you pay the price except for the Lord? And let all who seek, let them come to the water. And let all who have nothing, let them come to the Lord's strive. Why should you spend your life except for the Lord? And let all who toil, let them come to the water, and let all who are weary, let them come to the Lord. All who labor without rest, your soul find rest except for the Lord. And let all the poor, let them come to the water. Bring the ones who are laden, bring them all to the Lord. Bring the children without might, come to the Lord, come to the Lord. I will run to you, I will run to you, I will run to you, my
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts that, overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen.
A reading from Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words to that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Thanks. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song.
Know that the Lord is good, our maker to whom we belong. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name.
Good indeed is the Lord, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age. A reading from Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you'll be hated all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today gets us to think about mission. We just reflected on the Great Commission recently when we celebrated Trinity Sunday. Though the commissioning in this part of Matthew's gospel is different, in context, it's about the renewal of the house of Israel. But I think we can relate to some of the issues that Jesus is raising with the disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Regardless of what kind of organizations you belong or where you work, I think that 80-20 rule always rings true, right? That 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Plenty of work to be done. Plenty of opportunities for ministry in the world. Certainly there are problems that people are facing. People could use someone to minister to them, but there just doesn't seem to be enough hands. Even when we have a handle of how we can address it, there just doesn't seem to be enough hands. And then there's this issue of, like, we've inherited a model of the church. In fact, our synod office talks about being part of the inherited church. So we don't always know in this kind of age that we're living into as a church in North America, and how do we reach people that are hurting in a broken world? I'm not talking about people who are opposed to the idea of what it means to be church in the 21st century and wanting to just function as we've always functioned before. I'm talking about those who are willing and eager to help and to serve, but just don't know where to begin. Because it's hard to envision being a church that's not already been built up for us. That we just need to make sure that we continue on what's already been built up. You know? People just will come because we have a church sign that says, here's when our service times are. They'll come to Sunday school because they know that we have a Sunday school hour. They're going to come to these things because we're just going to announce them. And they're going to come. What do? The world isn't the same today. And because I think Lutherans in particular are used to making new Lutherans through what I call brides, boats, and babies. Right? That's what we've been used to for so long and how we build disciples. Brides, in the sense of through marriage, we can get a new Lutheran that way. If we could just get that woman to marry a Methodist, we'll get another one, right? Get them to marry Catholic. Yeah, get another one, right? Boats, immigration, and then babies. You know how that goes. The crowds in our gospel lesson might not be that much different also in our world today. Helpless and hurtful. Where are people going to turn to find peace, to be relieved from their suffering? So when the task of mission sounds daunting, the first thing I want to lift up in our gospel text and take comfort in is Jesus assures us you don't do this alone. You're not alone. This isn't a solo project. This is a group project. So that 80-20 rule, and you feel like, oh man, I'm always a 20%. You're the church, we're to do this together. You're not alone. We engage in this holy work as church. And it sounds like we're invited into a mission, especially in the context of this gospel lesson, to be like a door-to-door salesperson. Doesn't it sound like that? Now, you're not going to do it alone, but you're going to knock on doors. And quite frankly, our experience might be similar to, and I don't mean any disrespect, to the, you know, like Jehovah Witnesses that might be coming to your door. And like that, our idea of this kind of mission is in one of proselytizing, to get us to understand their understanding of God, their understanding of religion. And that's what they're convincing us of. And they use scriptures like this to justify that work. A part of me wants to ask sometimes when they come to the parsonage, it's like, do you get bonus points if you get me, right? Because you know I'm the pastor of this church. But that's I think, what we understand that. We're like, we're not about that, are we? Is that really what Jesus is inviting us to do? Kind of what Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, we kind of do by going to people's homes like that? I think it's important to note when reading this gospel lesson, what motivates Jesus to begin with. He's not trying to win people over. He's not trying to sell them a theological treatise. He's not trying to sustain an institution. It says here in Matthew's gospel, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And I can't really break down for you the Greek in that. Doesn't even do it justice. Like, he felt this like in his bowels. Like he really felt for these people. They were helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd. He wanted them to be cared for. So what motivates this mission and ministry is compassion. And there are people in our community that are lost. There are people in our community that are suffering. And they're longing to experience healing and wholeness. Is compassion our motivation? Are we looking at helping the lost, the suffering around us? Are we filled with compassion and asking how best we can serve them, to give them direction, to lift them up, to alleviate their pain? Are we giving, or are we trying to build something? Is this for God, or is this for us? Right? Is this to just fill our pews and balance our budgets? That's not what Jesus is calling us to. Later today, there are going to be some of us that go to Luther Memorial Camp for a week of confirmation camp and church camp. And they're, all the participants are going to get to know and meet people of different backgrounds. There are going to be times where some are going to need direction, like literally and figuratively, right? Like, where's that bathroom again, right? Or just direction in their life, where they're at. They might feel helpless. They might need pain alleviated. And camp ministry could be an example of that, on how we don't do this alone. How God gives us community. How there are a community of disciples that God is working through that will pray for us and walk with us and minister to us. And in doing so, give us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven that has come near. That's the other thing we should take note. Jesus is filled with compassion here. And then he's inviting the disciples to proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Filled with compassion for suffering people, were to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near, and then embody that. Give people a glimpse of heaven. Far too often, it seems in our context, that Christians are too busy giving people a glimpse of hell. Or their announcing of the good news is really just a threat of hell. And there is harsh language in this gospel lesson. We get that image of Sodom and Gomorrah and the towns that don't listen to the disciples. But Stephen Butler Murray points out that the threat to those who do not welcome the apostles and listen to their words is dire, as Jesus invokes divine wrath on the order of what occurred at Sodom and Gomorrah. Particularly interesting about this claim in Matthew is that Jesus does not say that God will punish those who act against God or contrary to the will of God, but that such a radical punishment is appropriately simply for not welcoming and listening to the apostles.
So in other words, you could even use this as a lesson in grace. We don't get what we deserve in the end, right? This might be appropriate, but it's not what God wants to give to you. He wants us to be filled with the compassion that he is filled with, to love people as he loves people, and to see the crowd that is lost, helpless, and suffering. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Love people, care for people, try to do what we can to make people whole in how we minister to them through the love of God working through us. The kingdom of heaven has come near. We care about the well-being of people today, not consumed about what happens to us when we depart this earth, but focused on the kingdom of heaven that has arrived. And that arrival of God's kingdom is a threat to the kingdoms of the world. If we take Jesus' lead and we're filled with compassion, how people are hurting and suffering around us, then individually as Christians and as the church collectively, we're going to feel for people as Jesus feels for people, and we're going to be then committed to the plight of our neighbor. And if we're truly committed to the plight of our neighbor, that's going to upset the status quo. Because even in the ministries that we're doing, like a lot of our ministries right now are oriented towards hunger, we might start asking questions, if we haven't already. Why are people so hungry in our community? You start poking the bear, right? People want to get, you know, peel back some layers. But that's another piece of that when we announce that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It breaks the cycles of this world. That's what the cross of Christ does for us. It breaks cycles of this world when we follow the way of Jesus. We're bearing witness to that kingdom that has already here and that will be forever. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of vengeance with forgiveness. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of fear with love. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of hate with peace. The cross of Christ breaks this cycle of toxic individualism, where we now have reliance on God, love of neighbor, and even can become vulnerable ourselves to be served, to be shepherded by God's holy people. We bring good news into this world. Yet at the same time, Jesus warns us it will not be easy. Sheep sent out in the midst of wolves. We would like to think that having compassion for others would not be so controversial. But as I said, it can poke the bear when we point out to the problems and the reasons why this pain and suffering in the world exists, when we challenge it. But following the way of Jesus announces in word and deed that the kingdom of heaven has indeed arrived and is among us. And the big cycle that is broken through the cross in announcing the kingdom of heaven has arrived is that the cycle of death is no more. That is broken. And we do have life eternal. And we're free to go out and to love and serve our neighbor. Beloved children of God, the kingdom of heaven has indeed arrived. It is with us today. May we orient people towards the love of Jesus that will carry them to heaven today. May we orient our lives where people would see the cycles that are broken. All those cycles. And follow the way of the cross. Follow the way of Jesus. May we orient our lives to the way of Jesus. And may compassion be our guide in our ministry. May that serve as our compass that brings us home always to our good shepherd. That alleviates our suffering. And that in life and in death, the shepherd is always with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified by the Holy Spirit, He suffered and died. On the third day He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. For the church here and around the world, we pray. Seek out disciples and send them out with authority to proclaim good news, bring healing where there is pain, and counter the forces of evil. God, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. God, in your mercy. For our youth, we pray. We give thanks for those who trust Christ. We pray for Scarlett, Mackenzie, Cadence, Layla, Alessandra, Vincent, and Pastor Adam as they attend camp this week. May they experience unity, harmony, and lasting friendships among themselves and others as they continue their spiritual growth this coming week. God, in your mercy. For the earth and all its creatures, we pray. Equip farmers, farm workers, and all who labor on the land to produce a harvest. Nourish crops with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Restore lands ruined by pollution or misuse. God, in your mercy. For those who govern, we pray. Empower those who seek peaceful solutions to conflict and embolden those who advocate for all who are oppressed. Work through systems of government to establish justice throughout the world. God, in your mercy. For those who suffer, we pray. Accompany those who feel helpless, alone, or abandoned. Embrace any who long for successful treatment for mental illness or freedom from addiction. Heal those who are sick or grieving, especially Charlie, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, the family of Hugh Daly, Pat, Dixon, Everly, Alice, Pat, and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Mary, Diane, Carol, Donna, Melina, and our homebound. God, in your mercy. For fathers and father figures, we pray. Console all who long to be fathers, children estranged from their fathers, anyone grieving the death of a father, and fathers who have lost a child. Draw near to all for whom this day stirs up both great rejoicing and difficult emotions. God, in your mercy. For all the saints we give thanks. We receive into your eternal care all those who have died, especially Hugh Daly, and fill us with hope that does not disappoint. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life. The life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you. Now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament, and those participating in Children's Church this morning. We will distribute the sacrament kneeling around the altar. So I invite you, when you come forward, to fill out from back here into or in front of the by the baptismal font. And an usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You've been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community.
I just wanted to remind everybody that we are going to be celebrating Father's Day out in the narthex. You can pick up a float at the window from the kitchen.
Our communion hymn reminded us we have an old story, but we have new ways of sharing it. And one of those ways is through social media. And we have a Facebook page, and Deborah and I post to it regularly. And we would like it so much if you would like the Facebook page, if you would comment perhaps on any of the posts, and even more, share it. It is another way to let people know that the kingdom of God is here. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, there's recite the mission God has given us. St. John, Lutheran Church, Winnipeg, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sending to the community, share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Lord.
Thanks be to God. sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.